Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. Today, we have the special privilege of speaking with Maggie Eckberg, a family and couples photographer based in Chicago. In this special in-person interview, we discuss the heart of family life, the beauty and the candid moments of daily activities, and the power of grace and joy in the challenges of the family.
Thank you, Maggie, for coming on to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Yes. Thank you for having me.
We're very lucky to have you in person. So this is all new. But just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and about your story of why you're in photography.
Okay. I grew up in the Chicago area, and photography became part of my life from a very young age because of my dad, primarily. He had a professional camera that I was allowed to use because I was the only child that showed enough of an interest that I actually tended to and cared for it to a great degree. So, so my dad took me under his wing and taught me all about the camera and all of that. And so it birthed in me this love for imagery and capturing it. I even did my fifth grade science fair experiment on how to reduce red eye in photos, which is not a problem for people nowadays, but it was really cool, but it definitely was back then. And so I was just nerding out on all of it, and I wanted to have my hands in whatever I could. It was freedom to me as a child. Mm-hmm. Photography and books were freedom because it took me to another place in another world and a place that you could like create and have some type of control over how you visualize and bring it to life and all that. And it was just very fun. And it stayed though for the longest time. Well, it always stayed with me, and anyone who was close to me knew that I love photography. But it didn't, I didn't do much with it other than let people who are close to me know I loved it.
Okay.
So it was known enough that when I fast forward to when I got married, my first wedding gift for my husband was a professional camera because he knew well of my love for it. Mm-hmm. And I was ecstatic about this, and I used it all the time, and I took it everywhere I went, and people knew if you wanted a photo, Maggie's got to take it. Like, let's roll. But I never thought I could be more public with it. I would see people who are professional photographers, even at my wedding. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that looks so amazing. I just want to be her. And it's interesting when we have things like that, it's because there's a stirring within us. We're called to it. So like because we can observe other people doing things, and when we don't have a stirring of that looks so cool. I mean,
you're not inspired.
Like, yeah. But I was so inspired by people who had, it was their line of work, and I was fascinated by it. And I kept writing it off as a childhood. This is my childhood thing. It's just a little childhood love, no big deal. And it wasn't until I had this awakening that came from a health scare that changed my whole perspective and my approach to how I was living. My oncologist at the time thought that my cancer from over 10 years prior to that had returned. And at this time, when this came up in my life, I was now married with small children. And it changed everything for me because when I'd gone through cancer in the past, I was dating my now husband, but I didn't have any kids, and I was just living for myself mostly in my teaching career and all of that. And it put me in a severe depression, just the waiting between what's going to happen. What's going on here? And it made me question my faith, question the goodness of God. And it rocked everything. When the scan ended up coming back clean, so all of that was, everything was good all along.
Okay, good.
But when the scan came back clean, it rocked me. So instead of feeling total relief and like, oh, wow, everything's okay, praise God, I collapsed to the floor in sobs because I felt like I just received a scientific report of the actual kind of life I was living because I wasn't managing it well. I was hustling for my worth. I never felt good enough. I constantly was like, try harder, Maggie, come on, do more, try harder, be better. And even though I had all this good stuff all around me, a beautiful marriage and children and things that, and friends and like life was full of things, it can lead to you feeling really guilty if you feel like your heart is longing for more. But mine was, I thought, I'm created for, what am I missing? And when in this moment of crying on the floor, I just gave, for the first time in my life, I gave the Lord everything. And I said, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not living the full life you want me to. And here's everything that if I were to die tomorrow, here's every little regret I would have Everything I would regret not having done if I were to die tomorrow. And I made a list of it. And then I presented it to God in prayer. And on that list was never admitting to the world that I wanted to photograph them. And so from that moment on, I said, in showing gratitude for my new life I was given, I started to pursue everything on that list. So I didn't just sit back on the couch and eat chips and be like, okay, God, I gave it to you. Like,
yeah.
Okay, figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My prayers. I started to take action. And so one of that was taking photography classes. I knew they had to be in person because I knew if I took them online, I would be able to still kind of hide in the background. And I'm like, the quickest way for me to find out if this is the real deal or just a childhood pipe dream, I need to be in person with a esteemed instructor and feel uncomfortable and have someone critique what I'm doing. And I did it. I did the scary thing. What was so scary for me. And I put myself out there. And even though I was so nervous in those classes at the beginning, it was lighting me up. I would leave and be like, this is so cool. I want to come back. I want more of it. And I just knew I was on the right path. And so in that whole journey of continuing to pursue that and grow, I saw very clearly that the cancer I had in the past was a gift in my life. And the cancer scare was a gift in my life that propelled me to wake up and get after what I really wanted. And so then I thought, everything really is grace. The line from St. Therese, that look at that. My cancer was a gift. The scare it came back was a gift and all these other little things. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, when I was debating between naming my business after my name, which a lot of photographers do, or naming it something else, it became clear as day to me that this isn't about me. It's about stepping into a role in which I can play a part in revealing things to people, not just capturing things in freezing moments in time, but revealing truths to them that no matter what you're going through, whether it's cancer or anxiety or troubled marriage or a road you're on with your child that maybe wouldn't be your first thing, your first pick, whatever it might be, there's still good here and there's still beauty here. Mm-hmm. And I get so excited now to play a role in trying to bring that out so that they can have this moment so that God can use the images, work through me to reveal something to them about their life, whether it's an increased gratitude or increased love of themselves or the people around them. But that's when it became, no, everything is grace. It's all about that. It's not. Yeah. It's all about that.
That's so beautiful.
I know that was
I had chills.
long answer, but it's an involved story that led me to it all. But then it's been a relentless pursuit now. Just keep going. Yes. And then,
That's beautiful. And I mean, we were looking at your website and you have a lot of beautiful pictures of families and couples. And how do you admit, I mean, you're telling a story right now with us, but how do you go about, I think there was a line on your website about storytelling and how do you go about, storytelling, not just freezing moments, but actually like telling a story through those photos that you take.
Yeah. It's all about taking the time to get to know the clients well, to get to know my families well, my couples well. So it starts with way before the shoot day comes and going over in great detail, the story of what's gotten them to where they're at, even the story between mom and dad, which is so important. And what's got them to the point they're at now? Mm-hmm. And what does day-to-day life look like for them? When they close their eyes and think of their family, what are the first memories that come to mind? Like all kinds of things like that that help me really enter into their space and get to know them. And talking to them prior to the shoot, not just through electronic communication, is also crucial for it. For me, feeling like we really connect and get to know each other. And then once I have a grasp on their general story and little details that come to life for them, then I take that and I sit with the Lord and I bring it all to Him and I bring the family to Him and I ask Him to help me visualize the session, visualize what it is that I'm going to capture, how I can bring to life their things, aspects of their unique story. And then when I'm with them in person, then it becomes, I've learned about them. Mm-hmm. I've taken it to prayer. I've asked the Holy Spirit to cover my camera, cover my hand and help me to be obedient to His movement during the session. So I can see where I'm being led. And then then it's where I relax and let it all unfold. And then I pay. Yes, we have to get some essential shots, some essential images out of the way. Mm-hmm. We'll do that take care of that.
Right.
And then just like, let's get that done. And then it's like, okay, well now it's the fun stuff for me, in my opinion. Yeah. And let's just let things unfold as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And observing is something where I used to think the fact that I was more of an observationalist and a little more reserved and very shy growing up, I thought that was always so negative about me. And now I'm seeing with photography, it's such a gift because I've spent so much of my life being quiet and observing people.
Yeah.
That, like as a child, I would in church, I would just look for the families. Mm-hmm. I was always wanting to see the mom and dad. And does the dad put his arm around the mom? Are they holding hands? I loved love. Mm-hmm. Like all my life that I can remember, I loved love. And so I was looking for, and I spent a lot of time in church because especially as a child, when you're not understanding everything that's going on in the mass and everything, my thoughts would drift, but they would drift to watching other people and seeing the love of the families. And I think that only helped me down the road, be like, I love to observe people and to draw out authentic moments and to help people to be seen. And part of being seen is by caring enough to hear their story. And then when you see them, letting them know that you listened when they told you their story. Mm-hmm. And now let's bring some of that to life. One little example is a woman whose husband would always smell her hair because he loved her shampoo and or conditioner. I guess that's the one that really brings one.
Yeah,
that's so serious. Yeah. If you don't use conditioner, use it at least for the smell. And she had lost her hair from being sick from chemo. And then when it come back, she was saying, there's something I love so much about when my husband pulls me close and smells my hair. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing things like that, then I'm able to draw in to that and capture an image that reflects that because that's part of their story and part of what makes them feel loved and connected.
Oh, yeah. So beautiful. And how do you balance? So, you know, you have to take the ones that they want you to take, I guess, how do you balance the authenticity with, let's say, nerves? Or like, I know you listen and you mentioned how you listen to their story and you talk to them prior to that, but people are nervous.
Yeah.
How do you,
start with you start with the ones that everyone's comfortable with. Everyone is comfortable with. Stand and smile. Everyone is. They're asked to do that at all kinds of random times and they're used to it. So starting with that and starting in a movement always helps. Whatever nervousness you're feeling when you're not moving, it just stays like bottled up and it builds. And so just walk can help release that. But getting those posed images out of the way, because it also helps the parents relax because they're worried about not always, but the priority, we want that one of all of us standing like smiling, looking at the camera, let's get that done. Our Christmas card photo or whatever done.
Right.
And it helps mom or dad relax after. Cause okay, we got it. Like everyone, we got your makeup's the best. It's you just want your makeup's fresh. Your hair's fresh. The kids aren't tired yet. And like, we got it. And so now everyone can take a deep breath and that automatically leads to relaxing too, because like, okay, well, okay, that happened. So whatever naturally unfolds with this, we can roll with it. Yeah. Exactly. But it's like, I joke that it's like eating, telling your kids they have to eat their vegetables before they can have dessert.
Yeah.
So like posed imagery to me is like eating Brussels sprouts as a kid.
Oh yeah.
Like not exciting to me, but which is, and the people who, if you're reaching out to me and we're connecting to do photography, then that is something that you like too, that, or that you are not drawn to just the posed imagery. That's what I'm saying. So I know that when we're working together, we're already on the same page, but we agree, let's get this, you know, quote Christmas card photo out of the way.
Yeah.
And all that. But yeah, that's like, it's the vegetable part. And then that's when it's like, yes, let's treat, like, let's bring this alive. Let's get personality going and all that. Yeah.
Dessert.
Yeah.
Sweetest part.
And then, yes.
what are some challenges that you have faced with families or couples or, you know, any clients that you've had?
When, perfectionism gets in the way and it leads to people thinking more about what someone's doing than who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I understand it so much because my own life in the struggle I was in with around the time of that cancer scare was because I was looking at myself with what am I doing instead? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? What am I accomplishing? Who am I becoming? How am I showing up in the classroom? Mm-hmm. How am I as a mom? It was all what? And it wasn't who am I and owning my my place as a child of God with my own unique gifts and talents. So I know what it did to my own life, and it was preventing me from seeing myself and things around me as beautiful as they really are. And sometimes for some of us, which I totally understand that sometimes a mom or dad could in a moment get caught up in what their child's doing and forget that it's all about who that we're just capturing who they really are, and that everything they do in the photo session is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And that you just need to focus on, yes, they're running away. It's the best thing ever. Because we want, because ultimately the parents, the people who reach out and hire me are looking for that authentic connection and the joy to be captured and intimate moments to be captured. And to do that, it requires an element of letting go and letting things be. And thankfully, as I've pursued my photography career and grown in it, it happens less and less because you learn how to educate your clients more and to like be on the same page and all that. But sometimes it still creeps in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to be like, I have to pull mom aside.
Yeah.
And like, we have a little pep talk. And yeah. Like, remember what we're here for? Yeah. And she's like, no, I want that. I want that. I'm like, okay, let's take it. And people always joke about dads, and typically it's not the dad that would come all ready to rock and roll at the session. Sometimes they do. But I find that that's just, once you get going and you just get lost in the moment, I don't find dads to be as troublesome at all as people say.
Oh,
so, cause I think they just want stuff to do. So I think dads even just, maybe it's the post, you know, just don't worry about the post stuff.
Yeah.
Just come have dessert with me.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Get the veggies. Throw your kid in there. It'll be great.
I'm all of that.
And I just want it to be, and this isn't totally related to the question.
Right.
I want it to be that when you're looking at my images, it's reflective of when you're going to bed at night, closing your eyes and thinking back at the day.
Mm.
You're like, what do you see? You see all the craziness. You see the messy mouth, the hands, the hair that's out of place, the moment of busting out laughing and from an unexpected moment. Like, that's the stuff you see. And if you were, because this is where my mind goes, I think about death quite often and not in a depressing way. I think it's really served me and kept my life, kept me in check.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if I were on my deathbed, what are the memories I would be thinking back to? And I think of those things and I bring that. Every photographer brings who they are to their session.
Yeah.
So whatever photographer you choose, how your photographer lives their life and what they value is going to come out in the session. So, that's just something I want them. Yeah. So that's why it's worth the pep talk today. No, we're not here. We are not here for the Christmas card.
And it's always a good reminder too.
We're not,
because I think, you know, we want to be so tight and just,
and look
good, present well. And
we, so many of us, myself included, go through pockets of just not feeling enough, not feeling good enough, not feeling pretty enough, not feeling like a good enough mom, not feeling like my marriage is good as the other person's, or all those things that plague us and bring us down that we can go to the photo shoot sometimes and be like, fix it all, make it make this better, or just panicky about, I want to make sure that we look like we have it all together because I so often feel like I don't. And then that's the stuff that causes, that can cause a divide. So there's work to be done prior to it. Like even work with Jesus, like helping you enter into a place of gratitude and love for your family, regardless of where you're at. And things so you can enter into that moment.
Yeah. You had mentioned, you were a teacher at one point, and then also, I mean, this is related, but with your cancer. So you mentioned perfectionism as kind of one of those things that you were struggling with. Has there anything from those experiences of teaching in, or through, your cancer treatment and through all that, that you kind of maybe subconsciously took into capturing like your photos? I don't know. That's a very broad question, but I'm curious if like there are moments in that you can remember that sometimes remind you in the midst of your photography.
There's just beauty everywhere.
Yeah.
It can make me emotional.
Oh,
no, you, good question.
Good.
People have such a hard time seeing the beauty, because of the pressure of social media, of comparing themselves to their friends. And they have such a hard time seeing the beauty. And I did with myself as well. And I just, sometimes I think back, looking at pictures from when I went through chemo treatments and looking at myself bald with no eyebrows and no eyelashes. At one point I couldn't look at And now I look at it and it gives me strength to see, like, now I just see things so much differently now. Mm-hmm. And I see, it's brought out an element of beauty in my life, but it's like beauty in the ashes, beauty mm-hmm. in the struggle, beauty in the pain, that I just long so much to play a role in bringing that out for other people. Mm-hmm. So to say, I do care about getting to know you. I do care about spending time with you at the session. I do care. That's why, I'm not someone you hire for a quick,
right.
For let's do 10 minutes to get my Christmas card photo. Right, it's just right. Like, as you hear the backstory, there's just so much more to it. And I'm like, I want to enter into your sacred space of your life mm-hmm. and your story. And I think back, yeah, to teaching, I guess I'm getting away from your question exactly, but okay. Teaching, thinking of like the student who's quiet in the classroom, mm-hmm. the student who kind of sits in the back a lot mm-hmm. and taking time to pay attention and notice them and to try to draw things out for them. It's mm-hmm. just like that with photography. Like, who's my little student who needs some extra love here mm-hmm. and how can I pull that out and make them comfortable? And it's not asking and help make them feel like they're good enough just as they
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And that requires, you have to get to know someone, because you can't mm-hmm. have, you can't ask certain things of a dad who's a very quiet leader. You mm-hmm. can't ask him to be loud and rambunctious with his kids. You're asking him to be somebody he's not. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, someone's like, oh, dad's crazy. He's always wrestling with the kids and throwing him in the air. It's like, oh, game on. And then yeah. we're wrestling with the kids and we're throwing him in the air. But you have to, yeah, learning that so you know where, what to draw out, and seeing every person mm-hmm. as such a unique gift.
Mm-hmm.
And praying for that, to see people as Jesus sees them,
mm-hmm.
Because every personality, we need every personality type, mm-hmm. we need every type of parent, mm-hmm. we need every type of kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
World will be very boring.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. You should say that again.
Did I answer your question?
Yes. It was very, very.
Yeah. So just.
Perfect. Yes. That's awesome.
When we can see the beauty in the, mm-hmm. in the messy bits,
mm-hmm.
that's when we have a joy and a peace about us that like we can't explain. And someone's like, how are you so happy? Like, yeah. or how are you so at peace? Like everything you've been through, and like, how are you good with God? Like yeah. that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a willingness to be able to see the grace in everything. It's mm-hmm. a willingness to be able to see that. Could there be beauty, even though my husband and I are struggling right now? Could there be beauty, even though I don't have as many kids as I thought I might have, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be?
Mm-hmm.
Just, could there be beauty here? And the answer is yes, there is.
Yes.
And trusting and handing your life over to someone who might be able to show you that through a different lens is, yeah. can be really powerful.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So, and kind of going along with that beauty, how would you describe, so you talk about your relationship with your clients and when you're taking those pictures, how would you describe your method of creating an environment where beauty can be seen? So is it, you know, there's different forms of lighting and, you know, lenses and all those different things. Is there anything in particular that you are like, yes, this actually creates a better environment for beauty?
Yes. An environment that is imperfect.
Yeah.
Which is, I just love, because it's what we love about people who are willing to show their imperfections and show who mm-hmm. they really are. We love and we gravitate towards those people because they're real.
Mm-hmm.
So images that have lighting that is not all like lighting coming from different angles or different ways. Lighting is huge in making
yes.
that. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It is extremely important.
Yes.
But playing with light helps bring out that beauty. But mm-hmm. everyone, every artist is going to have a different opinion about how they like to use mm-hmm. light, because it is its own creative thing, and and we all see that differently. But use of light is so important, but also being in an environment, like, I don't care for, I like messy grass mm-hmm. and wildflowers mm-hmm. and places where there's other things going on than like mowed grass mm-hmm. and like just total mold, like
yeah.
with a nice little pillar. It's
yeah.
like, that's great. That's cute. We'll do it if I like,
yeah,
but what I'm on a hunt for is mm-hmm. all of the pockets of imperfect beauty where light mm-hmm. pours in, because mm-hmm. that's, and it's just reflective of our actual lives,
yeah,
our imperfect lives. And we just, those of us who try to live for God are in search for letting light pour into all those cracks and places and,
yeah.
it's like reflective of the Christian life.
Yeah. Well, and you were saying very natural and organic. And I was driving down some highways in Texas and there's blue bonnets and then there's
highways have so many pockets of gold along the side.
I know. I'm like, maybe you should just stop by on the side of the road and take pictures there. So beautiful.
Last weekend I did have a session where we stopped it. Now it wasn't a highway, but it was a very busy street. But we were like, we have to go to this spot because look at what is happening right here and look at how the lights pouring in. And it's just
it's so good. I mean, it's so simple, you know, like you were saying with like those moments of God. And it's just like nature in itself is so just perfect.
And, and the sun's always in and out, like just like mm-hmm. the sun's in and out and changing things depending on the amount of clouds. And it can like, sometimes it just lights up a person a specific way. And it just feels like also a more surrendered session when you're mm-hmm. willing to also have to be subject to what the sun is up to day too. And just like, Lord,
right on the face.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll go. No, you know, See, I'm not a photographer.
But so as a client, you have to be a good listener.
Yes. I'll try. Oh, that's great. So do you have any, cause you're talking about, you know, the nature and beauty and art and light, I think of paintings, and do you have any art that influences, it doesn't have to be paintings, but any art that influences you or has influenced you in the past or you see now that really kind of helps give you a vision to your work?
I am drawn to anything that, well, I guess the same, what pulls me in might not pull someone else in.
Right.
I'm pulled in by anything that makes me, that brings me into a scene of something occurring. Like, as a child, I would go to the Art Institute of Chicago with my parents. They'd take us there. I don't know how many times, but I remember it well enough to know we've been there a few times. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite, I always love Monet, but one of the ones I remember staring at the longest as a child was, and now I'm going to, it's been so long since I thought of this one. I think it's George Seurat. Don't judge me, listener.
Nope.
There's like everyone at a park.
Everyone has their own.
It's like,
I know which one you're talking about.
Everyone's at a park.
Yeah.
No one's looking at you in the painting, but you're observing this huge, it's huge in person. This is a huge painting. Mm-hmm. And I would just stare at it and I would pick all these different groups of people to look at. And I'd wonder if they're married and if they're, is she happy? Oh, she kind of looks unhappy. No, I think she's at peace. And I just remember studying that. And it's the first memory I have of being pulled into a specific image and being able to gaze for a long time. And I think it has been instrumental in me because that's the type of imagery I like of capturing people in a moment where you're then pulled in and it makes you wonder about them or think of what's going on or what could they be laughing at or what have they been through? Things like that. My first time seeing a photograph like that was my mom's photo album that was on my grandma's coffee table from 1966. She had hired a documentary photographer to take images of her family one summer day. And I had no exposure to documentary photography at all. And as a child, when I first opened that album, I was stunned. Yeah. Like, what? I felt like I was drawn in suddenly to my mom's world. And like, I could see her at the kitchen table. She was in her late teens or early 20s in these images. Oh, I should think about when she was born. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
I don't know. Love you, mom. You're like, okay.
Okay.
But it's the first time I got a glimpse into like who my mom was other than being just my mom. Mm-hmm. And I have favorite images from that album of like her, she got something in the mail that she loved. And there's this image of her holding it up and like with her face so big, holding up the mail. And I could stare at the pictures in this album forever. And I would just go into another place, like reading a good book. Mm-hmm. I would go into a whole nother place and I felt like I could smell the smells in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like I could hear her laughing, even though I have no idea what her laugh sounded like at that time.
Probably the same.
Never really reflected on if our laughs changed. Probably not. But that's the first time I ever looked and I said, I want to capture, because I was already working with my dad on stuff.
Right.
on photography and he was teaching me a lot about posed portraiture and, mm-hmm. And things like that. But that's the first time when I saw that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to capture that.
So is that
like, that's taking me to another place. That's yeah. reading a book.
Yeah. Is the documentary, I don't know. So maybe mm-hmm. our listeners don't either, but documentary photography is like a scene.
Documentaries when you come, you're in a room and you do no prompting or coaching at all. And you're just capturing people as they authentically are. Okay. I'm a lifestyle photographer. So I'm a cross between documentary and, formal portraiture.
Gotcha.
So I do. So that just means I'm still wanting to capture you as you are, but I'm going to coach some things along or move you over this way or give you a prompt to ignite something, but I'm pulled back still.
Okay.
And I'm less like fix this, straighten this hair this way. I'm worried less. I still want all the imperfect, but my voice is going to be a part of it and my coaching will be a part of it. Okay. So that's the difference there.
Okay.
Where documentary is totally hands, which is so beautiful, but it's completely hands off and letting.
Okay.
So like they had that photographer there for the whole day. And that's not uncommon for a documentary photographer to stay with you for a long stretch of the day.
So like hearing that now and thinking of those pictures of your mom, that was probably, very powerful. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. I feel like this is what it is. But, and then like that's her glimpse of her life. And then you're also doing that as well and sharing that.
Yeah. It's my favorite album. My mom has the album now and I love pulling it out and just looking at it still. Cause it's where that whole vision was birthed and just me being an awkward, shy person, I needed some coaching. So I'm like, if someone was in the room with me with a camera and told me to just live, okay. Which I can't really speak on it because I've never had that done. I've never had someone just follow me and not say anything, but I think that also led to, I want to, the teacher in me wanted to coach and encourage,
that's true,
but also, back off a little.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. So what are some of, your lifestyle, photography, what do you think are some of details? Like, so you think big picture and you were talking about with that piece of art that you really loved looking at each individual thing. Like, what are some details that you notice when you're taking pictures of your families and couples that you either shoot for capturing or you're just make sure that that's kind of included that really brings out the beauty in the picture?
Yeah. There's not a cookie cutter answer for each session. Other than every session, I'm always going to do what I can to play with light. You can't guarantee it's not going to be overcast at a session. Mm-hmm. And that's just what's going to come. But if the sun is out, one of the ways I focus on detail is playing with how the sun is coming over your shoulders or through your two faces, or that is one way that I'll play on with detail. And then the other is focusing on there's something about hands that I love. One of my favorite images of my parents from my wedding day is the image that my photographer got of my parents' hands at our wedding ceremony. Because I look at that one and I think, someone else is going to gloss right over it, but I see the wedding ring, my mom's wedding ring that I grew up looking at all my life, and they're wrinkly hands. Yeah. And I think of how they've served us and loved us and changed diapers and healed wounds. And so there's something so beautiful about, hands, we create with our hands, we create love with our hands, we care with our hands. And it's not like it's not like I'm have some hand obsession where you can get a bunch of your but something about embracing and getting close to just like your arms embracing or just something, any little thing like that. But even shoes, little kids, legs, knees, chubbiness, it's just looking at detail and paying attention to it and stopping, like taking my camera away and looking at the family. If I feel like a detail is not coming to mind, I'll pull it away and like, okay, you're not a photographer for a second. Look at that little kiddo. Yeah. And if you were just observing him, like, oh my gosh, look at his. And then it will just bring that to life for me for a second. If I'm like, camera down and just look at him, what do you see?
Right.
So that's going to vary. The details I'm drawn to do vary depending on the personality of the person. Except, and then if the sun's out, that's for sure going to be part of it.
Well, that makes you such a great photographer too. Cause it's like, you're noticing, like you said that you grew up observing and that also, I think provides a better understanding of what, looking at pictures of your family, like after you've taken the picture, you look at the pictures, you're like, wow, this didn't even know she was taking that. Or, that's very, it's very amazing that you have that So, what the podcast is for families and like parents, what would be, let's say you can give me between two or three takeaways, for parents to encourage them to either, you know, capture moments of their family or to hire someone to capture moments of their family, or, you know, basically like how does photography bring beauty into their home?
That's a good question.
Now that I think about it, that's like three questions.
Well, back, just do it. Take the pictures. Let's start with that. Yeah. Take the pictures. But I'm not someone who has a phone a lot around my kid, out a lot around my children taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even like, it's not even like I'm saying you got to do that. Mm-hmm. Cause even not being a person who does that a lot, there's still so much beauty and gift to be had through taking the images. So my first thing is just take the pictures, but the why is what's so important there. Not because every single moment has to be captured, not taking them out of fear that you're going to forget, like taking it out of the fact again, that you want to reveal something to your children, not that you're like, oh, I want to remember phone out. I can't focus on this moment because my phone has to be out. Right. Everybody stop and smile. Yeah. Mom. Yeah. Like, that. Yeah. Like not that, you're doing it, like, what's the posture of your heart in doing it? And it's to reveal to your children that they're loved, that they belong, that they have a support system, that if they lose their way, there's always a place that they can come back to. And I think there's such a gift when you hire someone to do it because, well, mom can get in the pictures in a unique way. If dad's the one who takes them, that's rare. But if... then whatever the main parent is who takes the pictures can get in them. But there's something about when you also make a greater effort in what you're wearing and you kind of level up that day. Now, adorable moving pictures can be taken in jeans and a t-shirt or just a diaper. So I'm all for that too. But there's just something that can call you higher when you're looking at an image and you just see how just beautifully you all mesh together. And part of that might be that someone's not in neon yellow and then the other one's in like forest green.
Right.
That could work in the right moment. But okay, yellow and green can totally work. But this, what I'm picturing in my head right now does not work. So just stay with me. But then this thing of like, I have a designated place in my house, right? I keep the photos where I have photos. I have fun, just cell phone photos, but I have the ones where we took as a family and hired somebody to take. And I involve my kiddos in picking the pictures that we put on the wall. I do encourage the direction we go, but it's like a whole big process where like everything about the family photo shoot is something that's special. So this is the day we're going to do it. Let's pick our outfits. Let's we're going to switch them out on the wall over there. And it's like all a big deal because we are so lucky that God has given us each other. I mean, my doctors didn't think I could have kids because of what chemo does to your body. So just like, and I'll tell them that, like, I was so sick. The doctors didn't think I could have kids and look at you in my life. And like, so to get them where they're in a place of celebrating just our family and the gift that we are to each other in the buildup to the session. So that's a benefit to having a special day where you've hired somebody and then making a big deal of things like at the session and then putting the pictures on the wall. And then I'm a huge proponent and like my encouragement here is to put the pictures on the wall. Don't just have them in your phone. Don't keep them on your computer. Because there's something about when you see beautiful imagery on display that it stops you. It draws you in. It might make you curious. It could snap you out of a certain mood. I'll have my kids lay on the couch where you can see the gallery of the images. And they're just like, oh, look at Eli on the back. They even, you know, we've had with this current session up for, I don't know, the greater part of a year and they still love to look and comment and tease each other. And then, or I'll use it to help even calm down a tantrum where we sit by the pictures and we say, oh my gosh, do you see you right there? Do you remember when you held that flower? Look at your face. And it's just, it's a pathway to gratitude, to snapping us out of moods. Me too. Like if I'm grumpy at my husband for something that I feel like he should have done differently, and I sit on the couch by camp by pictures, it will snap. I'm like, what am I so grumpy about? I'm like, look at my life. I'm so lucky and it can snap me out, call me higher. So displaying the images, having them done, having them taken, having it be revolved around revealing mm-hmm. how beautiful our life is, how good God is, how much he's provided for us, mm-hmm. having it be around that instead of just capturing perfection or mm-hmm. capturing that, oh no, I've got it together. Look at this family photo.
Yeah.
But instead, yeah, no, it's about revealing the gift that's in our life, the grace that's all around us, despite whatever hardship we had. That's mm-hmm. the beauty. That's my encouragement. Mm-hmm. And children just love, I mean, it's a constant reminder that like, I belong somewhere, which is so, and after teaching teenagers for so long, mm-hmm. 14 years with teenagers, and I hope I have many more with teenagers, but in its own unique way, but there's such a loneliness now and such a sense of not belonging because of social media, mm-hmm. Which has their so many benefits to social media, but we all know that there's also the negative side. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young people and adults, because I had days like that, you can forget that you're a part of something greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. And we isolate and can turn inward. And if we compare and start to feel sad. Mm-hmm. And when we are deliberate in making reminders of things that help encourage us and lift us up and remind us that, no, my life is a blessing. Mm-hmm. There are things to be grateful for. I do belong somewhere. I always have a place to go home to. It just helps life mm-hmm. be more joyful and beautiful.
Beautiful. Why, thank you. Tell us a little bit where we can find you online. This is great. This is great. I love it. Thank you. So
good. Well, head on over to Everything is Grace Photography over on mm-hmm. Instagram. I'm also for Facebook. You can just go to Maggie Eckberg. I do have my photography business on Facebook, but it just whatever goes to Instagram goes there.
Right.
So either place, but I would love for anyone to come follow me mm-hmm. on Instagram as I also pursue where the Lord wants to take this, everything that I'm doing with the photography business. Cause mm-hmm. I do have a, deep desire to share more about the meaning behind mm-hmm. Everything is Grace mm-hmm. and what it is to live an Everything is Grace lifestyle, mm-hmm. which to me is walking in joy and intimacy with the Lord, knowing that all things are working for good. Mm-hmm. I am currently working on several things to share that with people. So it's more than just photography. If you head on over to my page, so please, whether or not you're in Chicago, I do travel.
Yeah.
there is that. But yes, come on over, say hi and all that. I'd love it.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for welcoming me here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovesshrine.org.